You have your Bible. I hope you'll turn with me to the sixth chapter of Luke, where we are dealing with right now a series of four messages, really, on new beginnings, starting over. Today it's on being self. We've talked about those circumstances in life that sometimes almost stop us in our track. Talked about last week, people. I'm going to refer to that specifically again today, and we're talking about ourself, and next week we'll talk about a new relationship with God. Very similar to the book of Luke in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, you find the words, "Judge not that you be not judged." Matthew's Gospel is actually the one it's quoted more often than Luke's Gospel. As for with what judgment that you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure that you meet, which is literally a term for measurement instrument, whatever instrument you use to administer your judgment, it's going to be used against you also. It shall be measured to you again. And then it says, why puttest thou the mote, which is literally the minor fault in someone else's I and brother's eye, but consider not the beam or the plank or the log, depending on which translation you're using, that is in your own. Now the world says we're not to judge others, and as a basic rule of Christianity, we agree with that in a general rule, but not for the reasons the world says. The world says you're not to judge because it's none of your business. You're not to judge because you don't know the other person's heart. And you are not to judge because judging is, in the world's eyes, is immoral. And I think as we go through this for a few moments, you're going to see that that's not necessarily true if the judgment of God is righteous along the way. The world says, you've got to tolerate me. You better tolerate me. No, I don't tolerate you. The world says, you've got to respect me, but I don't have to respect you. The world says, you have to accept my ideas. And your ideas stink. That's what the world says. And people use this passage of Scripture to silence Christians from saying anything. That's where we are in the world today. We're being silenced. And they say, you don't have a right to tell me what's wrong. Because you're wrong, they say. And we have a right to tell you. This crazy world we live in. The Bible commands that we do not judge. When it says that, it doesn't mean that we don't have discernment between right and wrong, good and bad, that which is of heaven and that which is not. It doesn't tell us that we should go around and stick our heads in the sand or close our eyes or pretend like things that are bad happening aren't there. It doesn't tell us that at all. In fact, immediately after in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus said, do not judge, he says this, don't give to the dogs what is sacred. And don't throw your pearls before the swines, the pig. And what is he talking about? Where is he going with that? And right after that, he says, watch out for false prophets. He said, by the fruit of them, they'll be recognized. You'll know if you have a spiritual mind, you'll know right and wrong, good and evil. And you'll be able to discern that. And being able to share that is not judging. Being able to tell someone that's not the way God wants it is to proclaim the gospel message, not the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of truth. By the way, you know what truth is? It's based, Jesus says, I'm truth. It's based on love. God's not here to harm us. He's here to help us and build us up. So, first thought on the screen is this. Jesus is giving us permission to tell right from wrong. We don't have to pretend like it's all good or all relative or all grades, shades of gray. No, it's not along the way. It doesn't mean that everything is equal. It doesn't mean that truth is whatever you want it to be. The Old Testament, many times when the people got out of line with God, it says everybody did what they thought was right in their own eyes. And that's where we're going in the world, not just in America, in the world, that's where we're going. The Bible clearly tells us that truth is objective. It is eternal, and it is an inseparable part of God's personal character. And when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, and you become filled with His Holy Spirit, the character of God comes within you, and you will know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth and the love of God, that's going to set you free. So the second thought before we read here in a moment is this. Anything that contradicts the truth or the love of God is a lie. It's a lie of Satan straight out of hell, meant to distract and destroy and the church of the living God. When we, what we're doing is we're simply proclaiming God's truth that we believe in. And we need to start saying, but you got to be tolerant of me because I've been tolerant long enough of you. Okay, we're not standing up and proclaiming the truth with any sense of conviction anymore. And we've got to return to that. When we call adultery, adultery, when we call murder, murder, well, that in a sense, in the world's eyes, is judgment. But it's also an agreement with God's truth. It's the way it's supposed to be and the way it's always meant. It doesn't mean that no one can identify sin because everything in the world's eyes is relative. In reality, this is the truth. We have the right and we have the duty and we have the calling of God to judge the actions and thoughts and intentions that are taking place around us based on a moral, spiritual guidance that we've been given. And it's been clarified to us, the written word, through the Holy Spirit. Now, did you know that I did not go this direction last week, but I've reverted back to it. There are four principles for righteous judgment found here in chapter 6. Number one was what we talked about last week. Be generous. Be generous with your relationships with people. We talked about loving your enemy, doing good to those who hate you, blessing those who curse you, praying for those who mistreat you, turning the other cheek when they harm you, giving generously, not expecting return, being kind to the ungrateful, being merciful to the judgmental, to not judge, to not condemn, to forgive, and to give. That's what we talked about last week. Being generous with people is one of the first basic ingredients of being able to righteously discern what is right and what is wrong. Now, today we're going to talk about two more of these. We're going to talk about the second one, which is be careful with whom you listen to and follow. I'll come back to that. And number three is we got to deal with our own stuff first. That's number three. And then next week we will talk about judging carefully how we react and how we respond to others, to circumstances, to people, and even to our enemies in God. So, we're going to talk about the middle two today. If you have your Bible, these few short verses of Scripture, I want to read with a little bit of commentary, then come back to both of them as we move forward. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, down at verse number 39. Jesus, He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead the blind? Now the blind are those who are not spiritually minded in this parable. The blind are those who haven't seen the truth and been set free by it. The blind are those who are listening to the world and acting like the world acts in this parable. And he says, can a blind man lead the blind? It's like they've got masks over their heads and they're all wandering in different directions, sometimes bumping into each other, sometimes bumping into trees, sometimes walking into walls, sometimes falling off cliffs. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher. Now we've got that flip-flop today. All students know more than any teacher who ever lived according to the student. Whether it's in high school, middle school, or college. They come in with an attitude that I am entitled, and you better listen to me, and you better get over it because I'm right, and I'm going to get my degree, and even if you're wrong. That's where we are. But Jesus says the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Let's move on. Verse 41. Why do you look at the speck? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank, to the log, to whatever has impaled your own eye? How can you say to your brother, take out the speck out of your eye, when you yourselves fail to see the plank, the log that is in your own? You hypocrite. Jesus said, you hypocrite. That's a judgmental statement. You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's. So I want to start, first of all, with this idea of being careful with whom you listen and follow. Everybody in this room listens to somebody, and you follow people in your lives. It might be your mom and dad. It might be a mentor. It might be a preacher, this one or someone else. It might be somebody that you work with. You listen and you follow a lot of people in your lives. I listen to too much talk radio while I'm driving back and forth. Stop shaking your head. I know I listen too much. You know, and sometimes I get beside, I start talking to the radio. Somebody sees me talking to the radio, and I say, oh, I was on the phone. Yeah, it's a crazy world. We're listening to too many voices, and we're following too many false leaders. Talk radio is not going to save this world, nor is anything else. We listen, everybody listens to somebody, and everybody follows somebody, but most likely it's of the world, and the world is the blind man that Jesus is talking about in this parable. And they influence us. They make a difference. We think about what we heard, what we've listened to. And that's why it's important for every pastor, including this one, to make sure that what you say from the pulpit is from the Word of God and not diverting off on tangents. Now, I have no idea how to pronounce this man's name, and I'm not even going to embarrass myself to try. But he's a pastor in Washington, D.C. He said, if your leader is blind, then you will follow him into whatever pit or hole he walks into. But if your leader sees with moral clarity, then you will follow him into two things. You will follow him to a lifestyle of righteousness and truth. Righteousness literally filled with truth. And remember that the truth of God is the love of God. What would you rather be? What would you rather do? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And the truth will set you free. It's not rocket science. It's not some metaphysical formula that I have to figure out and become educated. No. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that rest includes having to worry about what the world is saying or doing or what's happening in our lives. Proverbs says, 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of that way is the ways of death. That's the kind of world we're living in. Everybody's got an idea of how it is to live their life. Who knows how many books, self-help, motivational books, have been written and how much money people have made giving advice about how you're to live your life, and all of them that I'm talking about have no concept of a God who loves you and will judge us all one day. None of them talk about the idea of servanthood and discipleship and commitment and ministry and fellowship. None of them talk about that. I remember, and I bought it, and I read it, and like all of the things I usually read, I've pretty much forgotten it. There's a book called Who Moved the Cheese? Well, in order to understand the book, you had to know what the book, you had to know what the cheese was or is. And the bottom line is, who moved anything? The world did. The blind did. It got moved whether we liked it or not. Joshua chapter 24. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve him, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose it. Whether the gods of your fathers that they served beyond the region and beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites who are in the land where you dwell now. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have to make a conscious choice who you're listening to, who you're following, what you're believing. You know, the world will try to embarrass us into silence. We've got to go back to beginning to stand up for our commitments. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter into the narrow gate, the narrow way. Because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. The easy way, the way everybody's going is crazy. I was traveling back from Columbia to here on Friday. But I wanted to make a detour. I wanted to go through Abbeville to visit a granite cabinet place. And I'm out in the middle of nowhere on a two-lane road on each side of a grass median. Two-lane road on each side of a grass median. There's hardly a car in sight. And I top a hill, and as I top in the hill, on the top of the next hill are 100 cars and trucks stopped dead in the road. People standing in the median. And I'm going, I'm in the middle of nowhere. What kind of wreck could have happened here? There's hardly any cars here compared to I-85 or going between here and on 123 to Easley. Everybody's in a hurry. I have no idea what happened because whatever happened, happened on the other side of the other hill, and I eventually turned around and went through alternate routes on my GPS and found my way to where I was going. But what about us? We're all in a hurry. We want the easy way home. But sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's hard. Don't listen to the wrong people. Don't read the wrong stuff. Don't take in the world. All those things, according to Jesus, are spiritually blind. And we need spiritual knowledge to move forward. The second thought I want to share with you is the third one in that list. Deal with your own stuff first. There's that name. Deal with your own stuff first. Now, I want to give you a quote. Doesn't seem to kind of go with it, but it will if you'll see this. Morality requires that we speak out against the wrong. And we are to help our brothers see the wrong path they're walking. We're to cry out against the immorality and social failures. Now here's the problem with that. We do this first and we think that we're justified and moral. When in fact there's a problem in us from the very beginning. But if we are immoral in our own living and life and beliefs and actions and all those, in fact, if we have so many failings in our life that we're overlooking, that's negated. That's negated in the eyes. It's hypocritical. We can't do that. We have to look at ourselves first. And that's the next slide. We have to begin a new relationship with ourselves. And I should have put this in there, through God. Not through a self-help book. Not through some talk radio guru. Not through something we see on television. We have to begin a new relationship with ourselves if we are to be clean enough to do the things and proclaim the message that Christ wants us to proclaim. And only in our cleanness can we begin to help those others find that same cleansing power. And that's what we need. We need a fresh new start in our life. And it only happens when you and I say, Lord, forgive me. I'm wrong. And I'm sorry. And I need to change. But I can only do that if you help me. Because I only know your plan that works. I would imagine the vast majority of everybody in this room has gotten on board an airplane at least once in your lifetime. And at some point, the stewardess comes over and begins to speak to you about seat belts, starts talking about exit doors and procedures, and they start saying, and if the oxygen mask drops from the ceiling, what does it tell you to do? It tells you to put the mask on first before trying to help your child or an elderly passenger beside you. Because if you pass out from lack of oxygen, you can't help them either. So if we don't fill ourselves with spiritual life, the mask of God through the Holy Spirit, then we're in deep, dark trouble in our own lives. So who are you listening to? Who are you following? And what is in our lives that's off track? I'm going to close with an illustration. I read this and I heard this. I've heard this before, and I don't know who gets credit for it. Lots of preachers have used it. But the idea is this. One day, a man is going to make a trip of about 100 miles. He's not coming back that night, but he's got to be there at a particular time. Let's say 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at that 3 o'clock moment, he's got to be there for a meeting. So his plans are, and he makes them, I've got enough time and I can arrive at 10 minutes to 3. And everything will be fine. I can attend my meeting, go get my motel, stay for the next morning's meeting, and then I can come home. And so he packs up his luggage. He gets into his automobile. He drives out of the driveway, gets out on the interstate, and he's just boogieing down the road. He knows I've got enough time. If there's even a little bit of traffic, I can get there at 10, 15 minutes before. And about an hour down the road, it dawns on him, I'm going south. On I-85. And I'm supposed to be going north. What do? You panic. You pull off the off-ramp, and you come up to the sign, the stop sign or the stoplight. You hang a left, you cross over the bridge, and you hang another left, you get on the on-ramp, and you start traveling north. He's an hour behind his schedule, and he's ready to give up. He's ready to throw up his hands. This was in a day before cell phones when this story started circulating. So now, the more modern one, you know, you text, you cell. But this was long before that. And so he's traveling north. North now, an hour behind. No, he's 2 hours behind. There's no way he's going to make his meeting. What do? Do you quit? When you get about an hour off the road, you pull off and go home? Find a phone somewhere? Call them and say, I'm not coming? Now here's the spiritual application. We're all traveling at our own speed, going in our own direction with our own plans. Most of the time, those things are not God's will for our life. We've all been there. That off-ramp is the off-ramp of confession. As you come up to the stop sign, it becomes the stop sign of decision. The story says some people just cross on over and just keep on going. Can't get there anyway, I'm going to go do something else. The story says some people hang a right and just give up. But the spiritual application is those who take the left and cross over the bridge receive grace. Because while they were traveling south on their interstate, there were all these barriers you couldn't cross over along the way. The only way to get over and back on the right path is to have a bridge that crosses over. And he crosses over the bridge of grace. And he takes a left and goes on the on-ramp of commitment. And on the on-ramp of commitment, he merges in the traffic and he travels north, even if he's 2 hours late. and he does the best he can with what he has to do it with, because he's made up his mind, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to live my life better. I'm going to be better attentive. Now, his application to spiritual life is the same. We as God's children have to come to a moment of confession. Then a decision. And then if we choose the right decision, we have the cross of Christ that takes us back over the barriers so that we can begin to travel a new committed life in Christ. That's where a lot of us are today. We've all been there. Sometimes we come to many decisions, but we got to be careful. We got to make sure we're listening to the right voices and we're taking care of the first stuff in our lives so that all things come together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purposes. Where are you? Where am I? Where are we as a church? There's a crossroad always going to come. There's a stop sign that will always be in our future. There's a decision we'll always have to make. Many decisions along the journey that we have. To begin a new life in Christ, to be the new person God wants us to be, has to be our personal, individual choice. What's your decision? Let's pray. Lord, we worry about the speck of sand that gets in our eye, and sometimes that little speck is really hurts. It blinds us. It hurts in one eye and the other eye closes too. We're blind. And yet we think we're okay. Forgive us for that. In order to stop being judgmental, but to be able to explain truth, we need spiritual eyes. Help us to listen well. Help us to follow Jesus. Help us to deal with sin in our own lives first. And all these things will come together, and we will help you, and we will serve you and praise you and be found faithful one day. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus, and I hope that you have too. But if you haven't, I invite you today to come and let's talk about asking Jesus into your life. Maybe you've gone on the wrong road long enough, and you know Him, and you just deliberately go, and you're ready to turn it around. Let's pray together right here. Whatever God's leading you today, as we stand and sing, you commit your life to Him, and let's praise Him for it. Let's stand and let's sing. So I'm traveling to Columbia Friday morning early, and this never happens to you. I'm in the left lane, and we're all doing about 78 miles an hour. We're spread out, and everybody's just moving along, and we're passing traffic that's doing about 70 to 75. Until this one guy, I see him in the mirror, in and out, in and out. And he came out in beside me, up and around, and got around the truck and went around the truck, way down the road, for the first time in my life. I shouldn't be that. I'm sure. Is this being judgmental? I went, yes, blue light. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm not supposed to be judgmental. See how easy it is to get back on judging? I'm just glad nobody got hurt. That's exactly what happened. I mean, it was crazy. They got him. You know, I don't know if they were watching or whatever, but you know, every one of us could have gotten a ticket. They didn't. Be careful. It's too easy to slip right back into it. A conversation, a moment. We all do it. I did it then. You know, be careful. And when it happens, it's like I've told several of you, that's when you say, get behind me, Satan, just stop. Help me, Jesus. You know, you may not have the answer right then, but if you just stop, be patient. God will help you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, this is always hard. Being righteously correct and not being harmfully judgmental. Forgive us when we're wrong. Thank you for showing us a better way and using us to make a difference in this world. With spiritual eyes and discernment, we move forward in Christ's name. Amen.